267-1023 to be part of the show. Good first hour. Heading into that second hour. People already calling. I just made the comment as we were the music's playing. Here's what we're going to do this hour. But you can call and change that for us. Right?
Right.
This is how we end up with 18 pages of show prep. 2 weeks that we don't do anything in the show prep.
18 full pages. And not one story that's 18 pages long either. I'm not being accused of that.
Hey.
Yeah, I know. I realize what I did. All right.
You
Let's
can't
move
spell.
Along. No, I cannot.
Hey, John, how are you? Hello?
Good morning.
Hey, John.
I was hoping that Rob had already put everything out on the other day, and you had video of him driving a tractor.
No, but I will have video posted next week because I'm going to put his butt on a tractor Sunday.
Hey, that's what I want to ask. What time are y'all doing that tomorrow?
Right now, our plans are, if the weather holds, to show up around 2.
Okay.
I'm trying to let everything dry out so we can hopefully get the tractor in without having to resort to smaller spreaders.
No, that makes sense. And when we change that for you guys, I'm really hoping that it works even better than it did last year. And so maybe Rob won't have to sweat as much as he did a few weeks ago.
Yeah. Are you going to try to come up there tomorrow when we're doing that?
If you don't have an objection to that.
Absolutely not. Shoot.
Okay, good.
I'll put you to work, John.
Sucker.
Careful, Rob. My dog can eat you.
Yeah, that's true. I would just merely be a chew toy to that large Shetland pony you call a dog.
What kind of dog do you have, John?
Big one?
He's a mix of an Australian Shepherd and part horse.
Okay.
he's not
now,
joking.
He's a stray that showed up at somebody abandoned in 2008, and we took him in, and then my mom met him, and he went from the outhouse to the penthouse.
There you go. There you go. And so, as Rob says, you guys must be feeding him Miracle-Gro, apparently.
Well, he is well-fed and well-loved, but he's kind of our greeter. And we have customers who come in. I think I told Rob this. We have some customers who come in with their spouses just to see him. One time we had a guy come in, and he goes, "Where's Buster?" And we said, "He's at the vet." He goes, "All right, I'm going back to the car. The only reason I came here was to see him because my wife said she needed something. I thought he'd be here."
That's funny. Yeah, I will let you know, but right now the plans are to be up there around 2 o'clock. And
okay.
If that changes, I'll give you a text so you'll know. But that's... I felt like with the weather today and everything that would give us enough time to plant and also maximum to get everything dried out so we don't stick Corky's tractor ankle deep in the mud.
Yeah, that might be a good plan.
Yeah.
Well, because I'd like to see it spread to just see if it hopefully it works better and if get some ideas to maybe even improve upon what we've done to it already.
Sure.
So, plus, I really wanted to see Rob behind the wheel of a tractor because it's not often you get to see a Yankee do something foreign to him for the first time.
Hey, definitely good driver. Definitely good driver. Yeah.
John, thank you so much, man.
Just let everybody know we are open today from 8 to 12.
I was getting ready to say, you guys are back to your fall hours, open 8 to 12. Because there's while I got you, now's the time to be doing a lot of stuff to your grass and everything to get it prepared for the winter, right?
Correct. Depending on what kind of grass you have, whether you have cool season or warm season, if you have fescue yards, you're getting to the point where you can start either doing bare ground or new seeding or just coming back and overseeding.
Right.
You probably, to do that, still got about another week or two before you really want to get the seed out. Just let the temperatures drop a little bit more.
Yeah.
Warm season at the beginning of October, you can put something with that's like a 007 with a pre-emergent down to help control winter weeds. Because in warm seasons, like Bermuda, Zoysia, Centipede, once you get into October, you really don't want to put anything that'll make it grow because it needs to kind of go dormant and rest so you don't get any winter damage,
sure.
Especially if we get a hard freeze in the middle of November, December. That would really damage your yard. So we're getting to the point where you can do it. One thing that everybody can do, and I sound like a broken record, but get your soil tested. You can adjust pH for either warm season or cool season grasses year-round. And it's really important if you're going to do seeding for fescue to have that pH checked and start adjusting it if you need it.
Oh, okay, good deal. So go ahead and still get it tested, and then you know what to do. You know, I don't know if you heard me say a few weeks ago when she got her kidney transplant, I knew I didn't have time to deal with my yard, so I got somebody to cut it the rest of the year. And I don't dislike my yard nearly as much if I'm not cutting it. So I've kind of changed my whole perspective on the whole thing.
Well, then we can get that guy or whoever's cutting it. We can give him some more work. We'll get your soil tested and get it seeded and fertilized, and you might like it even more at that point.
There you go.
That sounds like an upsell.
John, thank you so much, and I will, like I said, I plan on seeing you tomorrow about 2, unless I text you and tell you otherwise.
Sounds good, Tony.
Thanks, John.
Thanks, guys. Have a good day.
All right, bye. John Beatty from Beatty Fertilizer. You can reach them at 472-5491, 472-5491, or go by and see them from 8 to noon today in Cleveland. Been there since Lord knows when. They've been doing fertilizer since 76, so They've been there a day or two.
And be sure to say hi to Buster.
Say hi to Buster. He will be the
small animal.
The small animal running around with a saddle on his back.
Yep.
Makes sense. Cool. All right. A couple of things happening. Sandhill Crane permit drawing coming up on October 18th.
Mm-hmm.
Ask me where I'm going to be at 8 o'clock on October 18th.
I'm guessing Birchwood.
That's where I will be. I am going to get drawn for that. So, again, that's coming up on October 18th. I am going to do it a little bit differently this year. I'm going to get there early so I can get my permit early and leave.
That sounds like a good plan.
I wonder if there'll be more than 400. They had about 300 last year.
Mm-hmm. I don't know. I bet you there might be more than 400.
I think there'll be more than last year.
I think so, too.
So you're going to leave Rob in the studio by himself?
No. We can get there from 7 to 8.
Okay.
So I'm just going to be there when it starts so I can get an early number and then go get breakfast instead of last time when we got breakfast and then when it showed up. And then we were like number 270.
Right.
So we had to and because there wasn't... Everybody got a permit because there was less than 400 people there.
Yeah.
So they did them in numerical order.
Gotcha.
Been better to be number 27 instead of 227 or 72. And yeah. So, but that's next week. And did you see the deal on the Peregrine Falcon? That was a pretty interesting story. Kid from Saudi Daisy has won a coveted Peregrine Falcon permit which I thought was just really cool.
Mm-hmm.
And where he's going to actually get to capture one, trap one, train one, all that. That's going to be pretty neat. So, and how old is this young man?
19, Spencer Morse.
Wow. Good for Spencer. That'd be pretty cool. I want to see some more stories on him. So, anyway, that's happening. What else we got happening around the area? We got about 30 seconds. So, anything? Hunter safety.
Hunter safety class.
I don't know if I've got any openings anymore, to be honest with you. I was down to 11 Wednesday. I know there is one other class, October 11th, at the Chattanooga Rifle Club. These guys are starting their... go to Hunters. Oh, heck, I forgot. I've got it up on my computer, too. But they're starting their first class in a long time, which I think is pretty exciting for them. And some of my guys at Highland are going to be helping them. I am supposed to be out of town. If I'm not, I'll be helping them.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm kind of excited to see what they do and with that, and glad to see them getting one started. And, you know, every year I get the same thing. I start getting phone calls, hey, I need hunter safety class. Man, if you're over 10, you're late.
No doubt.
And another thing that's kind of interesting about it, you know, 10, 15 years ago,
mm-hmm.
People didn't think, they didn't think about, you know, hunter education didn't catch as many people.
Mm-hmm.
1969 to now.
It's catching up with a lot of people.
What is that?
45 years.
45. 45 and under now has to have it.
Yep. The only reason I know that is because that's when I was born.
Oh, okay. So let's talk to Jim about crappie. Hey, Jim.
Good morning, sir.
Is this Jim Edmaster?
It is. Heavy on the mister.
How are you doing, Mr. Edmaster?
I'm doing great.
You're calling about the 10th Annual Forgotten Child Fund Crappie Tournament, which is going to be occurring at Chester Frost Park on October 12th. Start time is 8 a.m. to 1:30 p.m. Registration is at 6 to 7:20. Mandatory meeting is 7:30. Entry fee, $25 and one. Let me back up. $25 per boat plus one unwrapped toy per person.
That is right. And we even if they can't fish, we'd like for them to come to the weigh-in at 1:30.
Just bring a toy.
$5 to $10, you know, unwrapped gift, and just help these guys, the Chattanooga Fire, Chattanooga Police, the Sheriff, Hamilton County Sheriff's Office, and the Hamilton County EMS. They're all four, and of course the Chattanooga Crappie Club. And we just really appreciate your support and the community in general.
What is, and this is a Sunday, so everybody make sure they catch that. It is a Sunday.
Yes, sir. Yeah, we did that. We've had there's just a tremendous amount of bass tournaments that go out on Saturday, and so we just decided to do this one on Sunday, it's rather a shortened up time, just 8 to 1:30.
Yes, sir.
And it's not about really all the big prize money, although we are going to have a pretty sizable first and second place. It's 100% payout, and we do hope that the people will donate that back to the Forgotten Child Fund. All proceeds go to the fund, and the Forgotten Child Fund, they help over 6,500 kids every year, and it's an amazing project they have undertaken. Kelly Fent, Clay Engel, Billy Burnett, those guys are just outstanding volunteers, and of course, their real jobs are first responders. It's a real treat to be able to work with these guys.
Yeah, and this is the great thing, and like I said, this is a great opportunity to help a wonderful cause, the Forgotten Child Fund, and these organizations, the police, the fire, the sheriff, and the EMS, they do a lot of stuff. Matter of fact, outside my office, they had a fire truck, and the firemen were collecting, they were using their boots to collect money for muscular dystrophy yesterday. So,
Yeah, I was on, I believe it was Friday, I was over visiting, and we were going over some ideas, and Kelly and several of the guys had been out at the mall, you know, volunteering and holding the boot, and I mean, they give a lot of their time. It's amazing what those guys do. And then, of course, this, the Forgotten Child Fund does not, it kicks off for applications on the first Monday in November.
Right.
Which I believe is the third, and it's down on East Main Street. It is just a great organization. We're very happy to be able to join hands with them and be able to give back just a little.
Again, that is October 12th. Registration is from 6 to 7:20 in the morning. Mandatory meeting at 7:30. Fishing time starts at 8, goes to 1:30. $25 per boat plus one unwrapped toy. If they want information, you can call Jim Edmister at 421-0297, 421-0297 if they want to get information. And obviously, Jim is awake right now, so you can call him right now.
Thank you. Oh, yes, sir. As long as it's about the crappie tournament, we have no problem with that.
Sounds good.
Thank you so much for your help, man.
Thank you, Jim. I appreciate it.
All right.
See you.
Have a good weekend.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
All right. A lot of people doing great things for the community.
No doubt.
And you just looked it up. I have one seat remaining in my Hunter Education class next week. Starts at 8 o'clock, I think. Or 8:30, what's it say?
8 a.m.
8 a.m. Starting at Holland Sportsman Club. One seat. One seat only. Register quick.
Book now to avoid disappointment.
Tony Sanders Outdoors. We'll be right back.
Running on my deer off, tearing up my feed trough. Some bitches got to go.
Welcome back, Tony Sanders Outdoors. 267-1023, 267-1023. 14 things you need when you're hanging your tree stand. A safety harness or climbing belt. Sling a line around the tree and tether yourself to it. Do you know why?
So you don't fall from said tree?
Well, you may fall anyway, so you don't die from that fall.
Correct.
80% of the falls above 12 feet are fatal. Seems high, but that's statistics.
Mm-hmm.
8 times out of 10 you fall, you're going to die. So if you know some two people that's fallen, your odds are up.
Mm-hmm.
You're done. A pole saw, great for trimming shooting lanes. Get in the stand, point out obstructive branches to your buddy on the ground, and have them do the work.
Yeah, been there, done that.
Yes, you have.
No, that one. Yeah, I've been there, done that.
A machete.
I would have liked to use machete. No, okay.
Safety glasses. Oh, yeah, whatever.
Well, hey.
Basic first aid kit. Basic. Yeah, I'll roll with an ambulance. Toolkit. Hammer, ratchet set, wrenches, screwdrivers. If you spend a long day working in the woods, something is guaranteed to break. Yeah. And if it breaks, you duck it.
Duct tape.
Orange flagging tape. Don't lose your stands you've hung. You know, there are other things better than orange flagging tape. I use the Bright Eyes, the thumbtacks.
Oh, yeah.
And actually, if I'm in a public area,
mm-hmm.
I point incorrectly towards my stand.
So only you know the super secret Tony code?
Absolutely.
Okay.
I do.
All right.
I do, because people are going to take advantage of your opportunity. So yeah, I'll use bright eyes with, and point to the right when I'm going left. Or
that makes sense.
Yeah, I have little codes.
You got to know the super secret handshake.
You do.
Get to that stand.
You do. Okay. You do. Glow sticks. Stick these at eye level or a little higher to mark the way in or out of your stand. Bug repellent.
Always handy.
Thermosil too.
Yeah, that'll work.
Absolutely. Those things work well. Bow rope and bow hanger. Yeah, I look like when I'm in a stand, it's funny. I have stuff hanging everywhere.
Oh yeah.
My helping hands.
True.
A compass.
And not the one on your phone.
What's wrong with the one on your phone?
Phone can run out of batteries.
Ah.
Compasses never run out of batteries that I'm aware of.
They don't. And they're very inexpensive.
Yep.
But what we teach in hunter safety is to have a compass and know how to use it.
Yeah, that's key.
We know a lot of people carry compasses around and have no clue. And compass is not expensive. You can buy a good compass for $10.
Yeah. And a good one. A good one.
Yeah. You can buy inexpensive ones that work well for $5 and $6. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's really crazy.
Just learn how to work it.
And work gloves. Because, let's face it, the tree that you want will be wrapped in poison ivy.
Oh, that's a guarantee.
Are you allergic to poison ivy?
A little bit. I think everybody is to some degree. I mean, I'll get a few spots here and there, but not as bad as that sumac I got into earlier this year. Oh, my gosh. That was, wow.
So, 14 things to take to your stand, and I guess we better take some of those tomorrow. What do you think? All right, what else we got happening in our all this show prep you've done?
Well, I've got a story of two idiots, and we're going to Idiots Outdoors.
Oh, you're talking about us?
No, not us. No, we're indoors at the moment.
Okay. Right?
That's a given, but
we're, two idiots outdoors.
That weren't us. There was a pair arrested at a Walmart. Now,
a who?
At a Walmart.
Did you say a pair or parent?
A pair of people.
A pair of people.
Mm-hmm. Authorities in Owasco, Oklahoma.
Who?
Owasco. Owasso, Oklahoma.
I don't see a C in the end of that.
Owasso.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. Owasso, Oklahoma. Arrested John Odom,
All right.
24, and Cody Hudson after the two went through the store spraying doe urine on toys, fabrics, shoes, and many other items, causing thousands of dollars in damages. Witnesses told the police that others were involved in the deer pee spree, but that these two were the only ones that were actually charged. There were some comments from very upset shoppers that said Walmart. It was weird. It was very weird and disgusting.
It was weird.
It's not a pleasant, it's weird. A pungent odor. And one lady was very upset, thinking that having just bought a few baby clothes for her child, she thought it was disgusting that somebody would have gone and sprayed things all over the baby aisle with doe urine.
Just wash them.
I know, but
I mean, good Lord.
You know, that is kind of weird, these two guys.
Why would you do that?
I mean, I understand you can do things to get to violate the law. I get that. I may even do something like, you know, violating the law at some point. I get that. But why go spray deer pee just for giggles? I mean, what do you get out of that besides arrested? I mean, what do you get? How stupid.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe we should change this segment of this to stupid people outdoors. Well, they were indoors, though.
Yeah, true.
I don't get it. I don't understand wanton destruction of other people's property just for giggles. I don't get it.
I don't either.
Good Lord, there's so much more you can do in your life. If they ever elect me king,
you will be a kind and benevolent dictator, but
no, stupid people like this. You know what I would? You know what I would? I don't know. You're a Yankee. You may not remember this guy. Now, we had a judge here, Walter Williams, and he caught a lot of grief, okay, because he was rather eccentric. I'll say that. But the one things he did that I really liked, and he was an African American judge, and he was really, a lot of people said he was actually harder on the black community than the white community, But he would do really strange sentences. These guys, he would sentence them to a laundry cleaning people's stuff for 3 months or whatever.
Yeah.
I mean, and I'm sorry. The system doesn't seem to work that well. Maybe if we did a little strange thing like this.
Mm-hmm.
You have poachers, all right? You have poachers. You make them work somewhere. You know, obviously they just need to, they want to do a lot with, you know, carving animals up. So you just put them in a butcher shop.
That would make sense. Or maybe cleaning out the garbage cans at the butcher shop.
Yeah, something, yeah. You know, something alternative to get their attention. But, I mean, that's just stupid. Why go? Because you're right. I intentionally put deer pee, and we actually got a sponsor coming on very soon about deer pee that we'll be talking about. I intentionally put that on my hunting boots.
Right.
But that's all. I don't spray it around my truck because it stinks.
That, and you're not indoors at the Walmart destroying property. So,
and it's mine.
Right.
I paid for those boots. If I want to put deer pee in them, I can.
Right.
Come on, folks. All right. Tony Sanders Outdoors. It's time to pay a bill or two. We'll be right back.
Thanks. Then a light went off and I started to grin. I remembered about my big grain bin. We started filling up 50-pound bags. Up them yellow acres, they're worth their weight in gold. I'm gonna have more meat than my old deep freeze can hold. With all them yellow acres, you have them eating from your hand. But just don't get yourself busted by the man.
Welcome back, Tony Sanders Outdoors. 267-1023. 267-1023. Black bear visits western residents of North Carolina governor. North Carolina Governor Pat McCrory had an unusual visitor at his western residence in Asheville, just not far over the state line, over the Labor Day weekend when a large black bear roamed through the front yard of the state-owned house at the top of the town mountain. Don't come up here, staffer is heard saying on a short video of the incident. Be careful. Don't do anything stupid. The governor responded. A black bear. Hey, I'm hungry. Feed me. Feed me.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we're seeing a lot more black bear incidences.
Yes, we are. In fact, a Washington State hunter is recovering after he survived an attack from an angry black bear that chased him up a tree and actually chomped on his leg and then clawed at him with the other paw. So Mr. Jerry House, who is a retiree, says he knows he was lucky to fend it off that particular bear. He said it totally amazed him how quickly that bear got up the tree after him. They can move when they want to. They can sure move. But this was in Washington State. They said it's very rare that they document black bear attacks in Washington State.
The bears can definitely... They're not slow.
No.
And I think one of the things, you know, most people think about, you know, like grizzlies or brown bears being the ones that are so fearful. Black bears are the ones with the bad attitude.
Oh, yeah. I've heard fishing guides say they'd rather deal with grizzlies than black bears any day.
Oh, absolutely. Let's talk to Dexter. Hey, Dexter.
Good morning.
How are you?
Yesterday, a gentleman was on Jeff Stiles' show, The Morning Press, talking about
the
situation on Hawassi.
Uh-huh.
I'm just trying to follow up what happened into that.
And we actually had Tick. Tick was on earlier in the 5 o'clock hour, and then Senator Mike Bell was also on. Basically, what's going to happen is they're going to be spilling water from 7 to 3 every day over the dam, which is kind of a misnomer, but anyway, they're pulling water. They're not going through the generators. And then they will be turning the generators back on at 3 and running generators through the night to put cold water back in. TVA, TWRA, everybody's going to be monitoring. There's a huge conference call yesterday, including Corker's office and Flashman's office, as well as several state representatives, TVA, TWRA. And they all got to an agreement. And basically, The fail-safe is if the water temperatures start rising above an acceptable level, they'll pull the divers out of the water and put the generators back on and to cool it back down. And so they're saying everything is going to be fine, and we won't know until it is done. But TWRA seems to be satisfied at this point that it will work as they say.
Oh, good. Now, I hate all that hard work has been put in there before.
Yes.
Be destroyed.
No, I agree 100%, and that's everybody's biggest concern. And then they got promptly chastised for not letting anybody know about it.
Well, somebody was educated far beyond their intelligence on that.
There you go. But that's kind of where it stands now. We talked about it quite a bit this morning, at least that's what the hopefully what's going to happen.
Okay.
All right.
Well, at least it'd be once. That's
yes.
The main.
Yes.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you, Dexter. All right, Grizz, do we say we got another break?
Yes.
All right, let's take that break, and when we come back, Tony Sinner's Doors, we'll be wrapping up.
Oh, she's still hot. My baby looks good in camouflage.
Welcome back, Tony Sinner's Outdoors. Last few minutes of the show. You know, Dexter brought up the whole Hawassi fishing thing, and I'm gonna be real honest. I'm giving TVA the benefit of the doubt, but I am concerned. And biggest question I have, and actually just got an email from somebody that I will not be identified because he asked me not to, so I won't. Because of his connections with the whole thing, and here's the question I've had, and you had the same thing. Why couldn't they have done this in November? If they'd done this in November, all right, mm-hmm. It had very little effect. Very little effect.
If it's a crisis issue, you know,
it's
I could understand
it's
that,
not.
Which
maintenance.
Is not.
It's maintenance.
Right. Or at least wait until the lake stratifies. I mean, when the lake turns over, all fishermen know that the cold water rises up to the top. Spilled it then.
Yeah.
I mean.
I, that's the part in, you know, as Mike Bell pointed out earlier today, The historical, they keep using the term historical temperatures. Well, there's been some really high temperatures. I don't know that we want to go to that historical. And then...
could we define historical?
And then Jed just said that some people contacted him and said, you know, even the biologists that are in TVA are saying, let's not do this now.
Well, the one thing I don't get is they're like, well, the weather's going to be really good. It's cooling off right now.
It is.
And I'm like, that's fine, but all week long it's been 90-some-odd degree. And I know the Hawassi is a little cooler than, you know, most of the areas.
Yeah.
But still, you know, I don't see how you're going to get that big body of water to chill in a 24-hour period is my point.
Sure. And this emailer just basically said his concern is that it won't pull a Toccoa, it won't wipe it out like it did, but it will push it back 2 or 3 years. And the fishing, as we all know, has been improving the last 4 years.
Oh, yeah, most definitely.
So, anyway, there'll be more to come on that for sure. Hey, Sportsman's Warehouse, 153 and Lee Highway, having a class today at 1 o'clock on gun storage and care. And it's actually something, it's a little more complicated than you think. You don't just throw them behind the door. I mean, my safe has got dehumidifiers in them and all this stuff, and I have to constantly recharge them. And mm-hmm. you know, so there's something to this. This is not just it's there's a science to it.
You made a big investment. You need
you
to take care
right.
of it.
And if you don't, you'll end up with a lot of rusty guns.
Yep.
I've got a beautiful gun that I got from my dad after he died. Never been fired. Collector's edition gun, and it's pitted. Mm. And apparently pitted while he was sick, and I didn't know it, and got it out, and it's like, oh man, there was a collector's item gun that's now a gun.
Yeah.
So, got to take care of them. Go to Sportsman's Warehouse today at 1 o'clock and find out how to do it. Also, pick up all your hunting needs. Hunting season is 2 weeks away, whether it's bow or getting rid of a muzzleloader in early November or gun season in late November. Now's the time to go to Sportsman's Warehouse and get ready. They are stocked to the brim for all your hunting needs.
I need to go get some.
You need to get lots of stuff.
Well, yeah, I need to get some good boots this year. That's topping my list.
Full circle. Full circle.
I know. We're back to fashion.
Yes, full circle.
Grizz, have a good weekend.
Thank you.
You're heading up to Austin Peay?
Correct.
I was up through there last week, actually. Let's go pee. My daughter did that one.
Yeah.
We were going through it. She said, that's her chant. Let's go pee.
Don't blame your daughter.
No, she was her.
I'm just kidding.
All right, Tony Sanders Outdoors. Have a wonderful week. See you next week.